call the damn leads. It started as a joke. Listen, I'm just going to put that on a t-shirt someday, and I'm going to sell it to everybody in the marketing world. Why are you afraid to pick up the phone and have conversations with people? It's okay that you don't know everything. No one expects you to know everything. Do not try to sell every single person with a credit card and a pulse simply because you want to make money. When you step into being a solopreneur, you are now responsible for the entire machine versus just your one little cog. Do I think you need to read it like a robot? No. Money is relatively easy to make. I teach our clients the calls framework. C-A-L-L-S. Just keep it simple.
All right. Yet another episode of C2C, Coach to Coach Central, where we have raw and honest conversation about building, coaching, consulting, solopreneurship business. I have a great guest today, as always, Drewby Wilson. Drewby, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lydia, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here with you.
Yeah, well, I learned about Drewby through the podcast, and the podcast is called Call the Damn Leads, and I love that name so much. So why don't we start there? Where does this name came from?
Yeah, thank you so much. So Call the Damn Leads, it started as a joke. So many, many years ago, before I became a coach, consultant, entrepreneur, I was an insurance agent. And I learned as a salesperson that if I could generate my own leads, I could essentially write my own paycheck, right? Because if I knew how to do the marketing and get leads, I'd be able to make more sales. That was at least my mindset behind it. And so I started learning online marketing, funnels, websites, you know, meta ads, all the things that go along with that. And I had some success with it in the insurance industry. And so what ended up happening is some of the guys who I was, you know, connected to through the industry reached out and said, hey, we want you to set this stuff up for us as well, because you were already a great sales guy. Now you're making more than all of us combined. Like, what the heck are you doing? And is it legal? So I was like, well, this is genius. I'm going to start a marketing company and make all this side money and, you know, yada, yada. And so we start the marketing company. We start generating clients. And if you're in the marketing space, you understand that you can be incredibly great at what you do. There's still an aspect of ownership on the client to do their part, which for me was getting them to pick up the phone and call the leads. And so we had that churn of your typical marketing agency where people would come in, we'd get them leads, they wouldn't call them, then they'd complain. And so I found myself just saying, call the damn leads, call the damn leads, call the damn leads over and over and over again, to the point where I made a joke with some of my friends. I'm like, listen, I'm just going to put that on a t-shirt someday and I'm going to sell it to everybody in the marketing world and the sales community, because like, they're the ones that need this more than anyone. And funny enough, at the time I was learning about business trademarks and true like assets of what a business really means and is, you know, intellectual property, things of that nature.
Right.
So I trademarked the phrase, put it on a t-shirt, and like all great ideas, I put it in the back of the closet for a future day to when I would need it. And three, 4 years later, I left the corporate position I was in and Call the Damn Leads became a full blown business.
Nice. No, I love that. I love that phrase. And I think, you know, that's what I see. My clients, coaches, consultants, you know, a lot of them making this transition that I did a long time ago, 10 years, 11 years ago, you know, in corporate, they were doing something. They were the function, right? And then they decided they become, I don't know, health coach, right? So they know nothing about marketing, selling. They never were into in the client-facing position, right? For them, it's like completely alien. And because, like, I have my own kind of theory, right? Why people are so afraid of sales? Well, first of all, it has such a bad reputation. I don't know. I'll let you add to that. First of all, just the bad reputation, right? Like, people think of a salesman, you know, as a car salesman, like the worst in the world. Oh, insurance, oh, insurance agent, right? And then secondly, it's just they don't understand how it's done correctly. So I don't know. Maybe you add something to that. Why people are so averse And when they hear sale, they like freeze. What are some of the reasons you would say?
Yeah, let's peel that back a little bit, because there's a couple layers to it. One, I think you hit the nail on the head when someone's shifting out of an employee role, right? You're a cog in the bigger machine. You perform a service, you perform a task, like that's your responsibility. When you step into being a solopreneur, coach, consultant, business owner, let's just say, you are now responsible for the entire machine versus just your one little cog. And so I think there's a lot of learning that happens when you realize that, like, there's a lot more to this than just showing up every day and doing the thing that you're great at. And that's what I find with a lot of coaches and consultants, especially, they have an expertise, right? They're fantastic with health. They're fantastic with, you know, marketing, or they're specifically really, really good at helping people with the mindset. Like, whatever your skill set is, you're amazing at that. But you're not amazing at all the other pieces that are required in order to run the machine. And what I find happens the most, and with Call the Damn Leads, like one of the conversations we have often is around call reluctance. It's like, why are you afraid to pick up the phone and have conversations with people? And what I've kind of boiled it down to, Lydia, is uncertainty. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times people are afraid to pick up the phone because they're not sure what's going to happen when the other person answers. They don't have a process. They don't understand the tonality, the cadence, what questions they're supposed to be asking to make sure that, hey, once I've got this individual on the phone or in front of me, what the heck do I do next? And so it's that uncertainty, that fear of not knowing, that keeps people from doing the thing that they need to do, which is often why people stay in their corporate position for so long, because they're like, I'm afraid to go and do this because I've got my comfortable salary. I've got my bills are paid. Like, I have this calling, but I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen when I give up the comfort of what I have so that I can step into this new season of life. And it's the same thing with sales. And what I really think a lot of people are, you know, kind of afraid of is being rejected. Right? Oh, well, your idea is terrible. Or, you know, I don't think you can really help me. And I don't believe in what you do. And like, there's an aspect of that for sure. I think you and I probably also experience that still to a degree, even having as much experiences as we do. Correct?
Correct. Correct. And I mean, totally. So, you know, they don't know what to say. They're afraid, you know, being rejected. But I think there is even, like, you wanted to unpeel it. I think there's probably one more even before that. They're like, do I have the right to call these people? Like, do they even want to be bothered? Like, who am I to kind of bother them? And I hear this so much. Like, I will, like, my work should sell by itself. Like, this is the huge, the hugest belief that a lot of, like, good coaches consult. Like, my work will speak for itself. When I become this great coach, and they keep getting certification after certification after certification to become this great master, because they think, if I am PCC, MCC, BCC, whatever, CC, I don't
every
need
every letter in the alphabet.
I don't need to bother people. So this. What do you say to folks who say, well, I don't want to, like, who am I to call? Who am I even not to call? I mean, call probably on the top of the scariest, but even to send the message, like, simple, hey, how are you? like, you know, simple DM on the social media. Like, what do you say to that?
There's a term for it. Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you haven't. Imposter syndrome.
Yeah, of course.
And so this is a term that I've used quite a bit over the years. There's a lot of different ways to look at it, but essentially it's being in the feeling that you don't deserve, or you're not worthy to stand up there and lead someone, or to provide some sort of value, or to teach, or to coach, or consult. Because what happens is, as we transition into this new role of coach consultant, we realize that we don't know what we don't know yet. We have the understanding that there's still so much to learn, and there's so many things out there, and we realize that. And I think that's a good thing, but what happens is so many people will let that knowing that they don't know everything be the reason that they don't want to jump in and get started. And what I often have to remind my clients that I'm working with to work through this mindset shift is that it's okay that you don't know everything. No one expects you to know everything. And if you're truly feeling that imposter syndrome, in my opinion, it's actually a good thing because it means that you have integrity. It means that you're an honest person. It means that you would never stand in front of another human or group of people and actively lie to them about how they can do the thing that you're there to teach them to do. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of people out there that are talking about stuff they've never done and it's all theory and they've never actually done any of those things. Yeah. But for those of you that have done the thing, you've lost the weight, you've changed your diet, you've, you know, built something amazing for yourself and for companies that you've worked with. Like, it's okay to know that what you've done is enough because there are people out there who are where you were originally. And the only thing they want to do is get to where you are now. And so as long as you're not trying to steal a quote from a previous mentor, lead above the level that you're on, meaning that you're not trying to teach people to do things that you've never done before, then it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to know like, hey, I've still got a lot to learn and I'm learning everything in a way so that as I learn it, I can take it back to the people who trust me to coach them, to guide them, to influence them on what to do in their lives so that they can continue to progress.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. An imposter syndrome, I think it actually a good sign. So I agree with you. And a lot of coaches have this because they have the humility, because they feel like, okay, I need to learn more and I need to, you know, grow as a coach again, which is great, but should not be the reason not to go out. But I think there is a second element of that is like, you know, this kind of, should I bother, you know, why should I bother people? And I think a lot of this comes from those nonstop messages that we receive. And some of them are like, not some. Okay, let's be honest here. 99.9% of those messages are terrible. Correct? They're awful. This is speech slap. Like, hey, Lydia, by the way, I'm selling coaches how to get 30 leads in 10 days. I'm like, why the fuck do I, you know, how do I know, how do you know I need leads? And who are you, by the way? And why are you bothering me? And, you know, I ignore those. But imagine coaches, like new coaches, receive those emails and they're like, well, I don't want to sound like that. You see?
I 100% agree with you. I think there are a number of people who subscribe to the mentality of spray and pray, right? Just throw as many things out there as you possibly can.
0.001% reply.
Yeah. Hey, if we get one reply out of 10,000, then that's one reply out of 10,000. And there's an aspect to that, that there's some truth, right? You have, it's a volume game. I think Hormozy's been putting a lot of content around this. It's like, it's a volume game. And also though, for those of you who have that concern of like not wanting to bother people, I would say go inside yourself and ask, why did I even start this business? What is the thing behind it, the why that drives me to actually care about serving another human, to care about helping them solve this big, hairy, scary problem that they have in the back of their mind? And then ask yourself, if someone could have come to you at that moment when you were like worried and staying up late at night and they said, hey, listen, I can show you the path to solving this and give you every tool, resource, thing that you need in order to change the life into the thing that you want, would you have wanted to have that conversation with them? The answer is probably yes, because you wanted to solve the problem. You knew it was a big deal. You knew it kept you up at night. You knew it like made you scratch your skin because you were so like, if I could just fix this, everything in life would be better. And if you know that you were there, why wouldn't you believe that your clients could potentially be in that same position? Now, Lydia, like you said, you can't just go out there and be like, hey, I can help you fix gut health. Hey, I can help you lose 20 pounds in 5 days. Like, you're not going to go out there and just beat people over the head. But there's nothing wrong with reaching out to someone that you have some sort of connection and just being like, hey, I really appreciate your friendship and the connection over all these years. I'm working on something new. I think maybe it might be something that would be worth a conversation. And I'd be, you know, really curious if you're open to learning a little bit more about it.
Correct.
Just keep it simple.
Yeah. Yeah. So it goes back to your point is given your client, and I do this and you do this, given your clients some sort of a plan or kind of showing them what are some of the options, how to do it nicely, right? Mm-hmm. Not copy paste, not templatized, right? And I want to ask two questions. So it comes back to your point about being the uncertainty. If you don't know, if you see all these bad examples, you do need to know good examples, right? Now, on that point, two pairs of questions. One is cold versus warm. What do we think? And again, we're talking not B2B. We're talking about solopreneurs, you know, coaches, consultants, service providers, you know. So cold to warm, cold or warm, or, you know, and I have my opinion. And then second, when you're on the call, script versus no script. So I want to talk about these two pairs and hear your opinion. And then I throw mine.
I love that. Yeah. So let's start with cold warm. In my opinion, any lead is a good lead. And all of them essentially start in what I would consider to be somewhat of a cold situation when you're doing the outreach. Now, if they've reached out to you because they saw your content, they saw a landing page, like that is more of a
warm
lead.
We're talking about outreach.
Yeah.
Not
so
an
inbound.
We're
looking at outreach, right? So cold would be someone that you have not had any sort of real conversation with whatsoever at any given time. They have no idea who you are. They don't necessarily like you. They certainly don't trust you yet. That's more of like a cold audience. Now, anybody that you're connected to on social media, there could be some aspect of warmth there, right? Maybe they've engaged with your content. Maybe there's someone that doesn't ever engage, but they're constantly watching your stories. And so every time you open it up, you can see like every story you post, they're watching it. So that it means that they are actively engaged and they're more of a warm lead. Now, how you approach that conversation is going to change depending upon where they're at in the sales process. And so essentially, if you're reaching out to someone on, let's just say Facebook, for example, but this kind of applies to any social media platform, but just for example, if they've engaged with your content, right, you made a post talking about something that's in relation to how you help people or the problem that you solve. If they've engaged with it, why not shoot them a message and just say, hey, listen, I saw you had engaged with my post about XYZ. It really gets me excited to talk about these things. What really spoke to you about that piece? What was it that caught your attention? What was the thing that, you know, made you think, oh, this is interesting? Because now you can get them talking. Maybe they're a good fit for your program. Maybe you're just doing market research to understand what are the hooks, what are the messages that are actually getting people to engage and respond. Because what I've learned, Lydia, and I'd be curious about your experience with this, is that I can post content every day for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. And unless someone actually likes it or comments with it, we don't know if they're really paying attention. But I can say without a doubt that there are several people who have been watching our content for months and months and months. And then one day something finally clicks and they reach out and they're like, hey, I've been watching you for a while. I know I have this thing. It seems like you're the authority that can help me fix it. Tell me more about what that looks like. And so this is where I say, you know, it's important to stay consistent, even if you don't feel like you're getting a ton of engagement or it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere, because people are watching. I can promise you, there are people who are watching. The timing for them is going to be about when do they see the thing that makes them realize they've been dealing with this problem for longer than they want to. So I would love to let's do the warm cold first. Let's see what your thoughts are on that.
I'm you know, I like your approach. I just say, for simplicity term, I just say, don't go cold. And for me, what you just described is basically warming up, right? So making them warm first. Absolutely. But I don't think this cold pitch, right? Like people who never interacted with your content, you just found them, you know, on social media, say I'm on LinkedIn, and you send them DM, and you can do this with the email on LinkedIn saying, hey, let's get on a call, or hey. And I always say, it feels like you see a guy, well, I see a guy in a cafe, you walk up to him and say, well, let's have sex, or like, let's get engaged. Like, that's weird, right? Nobody does that.
It's very forward.
Well, it's similar. When you send this cold pitch to a person who never heard about you, is the same. So I say, in simple terms, forget cold. For my audience. But what I suggest, start conversations, like real people conversations. And Hormozy, well, he talks about this, right? He says, like, do a bit of research, even if you go cold, like, do a bit of research, and then send them a message about them. Comment, you know, maybe they didn't like your comment, fine. They didn't like your post, they didn't comment, fine. Find what they've posted. Maybe they posted just a podcast episode and you like some, well, you listen to it, give some respect, listen to it, and then appreciate what you liked, or maybe something you disagree. So show them respect, start conversation. So you can definitely go do outreach, and you should do, because sitting and waiting until people start contacting you is not a really good business strategy, right?
It's going to be tough.
I mean, if you have a bunch of money in your bank account, sure. many of us don't. So I'm totally with you on that. Start conversations. The easy ones are people who you already connected. You're already communicating through your content. That's the easiest. Or you met somewhere else. So any sort of connection, or, you know, keep conversations with people in your network. That's kind of what I'm big on. Yep. On keeping your network warm and asking them to refer you new leads through them, because that's the easiest. This is how you can borrow trust. I call it borrow trust. It's basically, absolutely, when they introduce someone to you, you borrow trust they have to you, kind of to when you start talking to that cold person, it's already not cold. They already have this know, like, and trust factor a little bit higher than someone who never heard about you. So yeah, that's what I teach. That's what I've seen. That's what worked for me. And that what works for my clients.
I love it. And so you had a second question about script, no script.
Right.
This is a big one for people. I'm a believer that you should have a script. Now.
Okay. We might disagree on that one.
That's okay. Yeah, yeah. No, I love this. And this is going to be a great part of the conversation. So if you're listening to this, like, this is going to be really fun. We're going to nerd out here for a minute. The reason I believe you should have a script is, think about it from the standpoint of your favorite restaurant. You have that one specific meal that you really love, that, like, every time you go, you always get it, and it's always the same, and it always brings that special nostalgic feeling. That chef has a recipe, and he follows that recipe, or she follows that recipe. Now, are there slight variations here or there because maybe they're, you know, not specifically measuring the amount of salt, or they added one extra bay leaf, or whatever, that, you know, they were in the moment. There's a bit of, we'll call it, love that goes into making that meal. And also, if they were just winging it every single time, it would not be consistent. It would not feel the same. It would not taste the same. And so what I believe when it comes to a script is that it's not something to be read like a robot. It is a framework that you use so that you can gather all of the information you need to determine, hey, is this someone who has a problem or a desire that I can help with? And also, is this someone that I genuinely want to work with? Because not all business is good business, you guys. Like, do not try to sell every single person with a credit card and a pulse simply because you want to make money.
Yeah, tell it to coaches who are just starting out.
Why we're having the conversation, though, because the script should help you understand, A, how do I start this conversation in a way that doesn't feel spammy or salesy or obnoxious? What questions am I asking that make the person feel like I genuinely care about them? And how am I transitioning from those questions to actually moving the ball forward and saying, okay, great, now that you've said X, Y, and Z, if we could do this that would help you solve your problem, is that something that you'd be open to? And the reason I think the script is important is because it's like the microwave directions, right? It's like the recipe. Anybody can just show up and throw a meal in the microwave. But if you don't follow the instructions on the box, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to be very consistent. Maybe you forget to take it out of the box completely. Maybe you don't poke a hole in it so it blows up and goes all over in the microwave, right? But the same thing applies to your sales process. If you're not specifically working it through the right instructions and the right process, right? It's like IKEA furniture. This is another great idea. They give you all of the pieces in a big box and you're like, okay, I know what it's supposed to look like at the end. But if I didn't have those step-by-step instructions that showed me how to build it, it would probably look a little bit wonky unless I had done it thousands and thousands and thousands of times. So I think that you should have a script. Do I think you need to read it like a robot? No. But I think you should go into every conversation armed with a process that allows you to move the conversation in the way that you know is going to get you closer to helping that person make a decision on whether or not it's a good fit to solve this problem with you, or if not you, then who can you send them to work with? So Lydia, share your thoughts. I'd love to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we are on the same page. Honestly, I'm sorry. We're just using different, terminology. So it's, in my words, it's not the script, it's the structure of the call. So, and a couple of, I call them magic phrases that, amen, you know, kind of you say them word for word, right? And then there's some pauses where you have to shut up. But that's how I call it. And my analogy, so you're right with your analogies. My analogy is coaches, when we go through, at least in good schools, the one I went to, when we are taught a structure of a coaching session. There is the beginning, 3-5 minutes, establish rapport. And then and then there are specific questions at the beginning that you ask. And there's a question you ask, the same questions you ask at every single coaching session. And then there is the middle part, the exploratory part. But then there is a closing. Again, the same questions you ask every single time.
Yep.
Does it mean you sound robotic? Well, maybe the first couple you do, but then after hundreds and hundreds of those, you don't need. But so is the same, right? A good structure, you know, you need a structure to the sales call, absolutely, and some key phrases and some key kind of pauses and keeping the timing. Again, the coaching call. Again, I have a secret to share. I think coaches should be the best salespeople. They should be the best.
Come on.
Because there is so much commonality between the structure of the coaching session and the sales call. And best salespeople are those who listen well and who can repeat back and who can reflect back. Well, these are all things that coaches are good at. They just need to do a mind shift, and they need to be themselves and take the anxiety and the nervousness and stop thinking about the goal, the transaction. And like you said, I love that you said your goal is not to close the deal, right? The goal is to help the client. And if it's not you, fine. Maybe you refer them to another coach. Maybe I suggest books, podcast programs, like bunch of things. Even after, like, my goal is to enhance the relationship. This is my only goal for the sales calls. Now, of course, if I get the sale, you know, hallelujah, I'm not going to say no to that. But if my relationship improved after that call, you know, that's it. You know, I often keep in touch with these people. I stay, you know, I just send them stuff that I remember of them, send them podcasts, send them stuff, and keep, again, they may refer clients to me.
Yeah. And do you mind if I share my acronym, the framework that I use?
100%. Okay. Absolutely.
So I teach our clients the CALLS framework, CALLS. And it stands for C, confirm the reason we're even having a conversation, right? Nobody wants to waste time. So, like, let's just kind of get the clarity of, like, hey, this is what we're here to talk about today. Ask specific questions that are relevant to the goal. So a lot of people are like, hey, I want to build rapport. So they're asking about the weather and all these specific, like, weird things. And, like, sure, there's some aspect of that, but, like,
1 minute.
None of that really
One
matters.
Minute.
Yeah, right. None of that really matters. You need to ask specific and relevant questions that give you the data points you need to know, can I help this person?
Yes.
L, the first L, stands for listen with intentionality. Because if you're asking questions and you have someone that's not the, like, yes, no, one word answer kind of person, which you'll get those, but, like, most people, when you start asking questions, they're going to spill their guts. They're going to tell you all the things. People love to talk about themselves.
And again, so coaches know how to ask open-ended questions.
That part right there. And so if you're listening, they're going to tell you everything that you need to know so that you can get to the second L, which is laying out the plan for success. Awesome. Based on everything you've told me so far, it looks like your goal is this. And if you can solve this, this, and this, it's going to get you to that goal. Is that correct? And they're like, yes. And it's like, okay, so if I can show you how to do this, this, and this, and it gets you to your goal, would that be something that you'd like to do? And they're going to say, well, yes, of course I want to get to my goal. And so the S stands for secure the bag. You got to get paid. Listen, coaches, consultants, like, at the end of the day, we're here to help people.
Yes.
We want to do what makes us feel good. But, like, do not discredit the fact that you're here to get paid for the expertise and the value that you're going to bring to that relationship. And so what I think it's important, confirm, ask, listen, lay out the plan, and secure the bag. That's our CALLS framework. We run into every conversation with it. It doesn't matter whether I'm on a coaching call or I'm meeting somebody in the street. I'm always trying to run through that specific framework because it works. And
right.
It's why it's like, I don't necessarily believe in the script, but I know I'm going to ask the same handful of questions every time. And I'm going to use some specific key phrases, just like Lydia said. And I know that if I go through that, it's going to get me to where I can decide, hey, is this someone I can help? Is this someone that I need to send to someone else because I know that they have a problem, but it's not my wheelhouse or expertise? Or is this someone that I genuinely just do not want to build a relationship with, which is okay. It's okay to say no to people. It's okay to determine, hey, this is not going to be something that's going to solve your problem or get you what you want. If it can help someone you know, awesome. If not, I appreciate you sharing a little bit with me. I hope you have an amazing life. Check out my podcast, check out my books, check out whatever. Like, it's okay to have that conversation too.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I think we are on the same page. Having the clear framework and some key phrases and just doing it again and again. It's like having this, like you said, this recipe that never fails you. And then you can sprinkle with extra pepper today. You're being a little bit extra about something. You know, you're being human, which is, I think, again, important, not sounding robotic. Okay, I want to get into a couple of more kind of very deep dive questions. The big M, money. You know, it's again, coaches, I think they should be the best in the first part, like the majority, the 80%. But then, at the end, you know, what I've seen when they need to name the price, that's where something happens. You know, the throat, the voice changes, the energy shifts, right? I don't know. You've probably seen, I don't know, you do with your clients kind of the mock-up, or do you watch the recording of their sales calls? Like, it just changes so much. Before, they were, you know, friendly and happy. And then, you know, like the deer caught in a headlight, right? When they need to say, okay, my coaching package is, I don't know, 5,000, whatever is the price, right? And they're like, you know, the posture. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying.
Like, I do.
What are some of the, I don't know, tips, advice, you know, how to overcome that crap?
For me personally, that shift around my personal worth and, you know, the value of my time, it came when I was still selling insurance. So I was one of those, you know, I don't think I was a slimy insurance guy. I genuinely like wanted to help people. But like, listen, I was making 200, 300 calls a day. And as I mentioned, I realized that if I could generate my own inbound leads, I wouldn't have to reach out to cold traffic. And so I'm learning this process, and I'm commenting in one of the Facebook communities that I'm a part of for the software that I'm using. And one lady, Nancy, amazing human being, one of my first coaching clients, as a matter of fact, she saw my posts about the stuff that I was working on, because I was just sharing like, hey, here's what's working for me. Here's what I'm doing. Here's how this goes. And she reached out to me one day and she's like, listen, I see that you're using this software. I'm a mortgage agent. I'm trying to figure it out. I see that you're helping other mortgage agents with their, you know, lead generation. How much for an hour of your time to hop on a call and help me figure this out? And Lydia, what a humbling question. Because I'm sitting there in my mind like, okay, well, I make a base salary of this and I get X amount of commissions every month on average. And so that's like, I don't know, $25 an hour. And if I was working double time, I would get, you know, if I was a holiday or a weekend, I'd get, you know, $50 an hour. And so like, I'm in my head doing these calculations and she's just sitting on the other end of the line, like Jeopardy music playing, like, doo, 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 doo. You know what I mean? Like, so silly. And I came back and I was like, all right, Nancy, how about $50? And she kind of chuckled and she's like, oh, I was totally ready to pay you like 75 to 100. And I was like, well, 75 sounds way better than 50. And she's like, well, let's do 75 an hour. Then I'm like, all right, great. That sounds awesome. And in that moment, I kind of realized like I'm so undervaluing myself, but I didn't, you know, when you're first starting this, you don't really know. Because a lot of times we grow up, it's like, hey, $10 an hour was grunt work, right? That was like guys picking up trash and doing all the stuff nobody wanted to do. And, you know, only the rich people were making 50 to 100. And it was attorneys and lawyers that are making $150. Like, these are people that are smart and have been to business school and all that. And you're just like, you don't know what you don't know. Right. But I'll never forget. I got on that call with her. We spent an hour having fun, chit-chatting. She's asking questions. I'm just rattling stuff off, you know, just having a great time. And at the end of the call, she sends me a Venmo for $75. We hang up. We set another call for 2 weeks later where she's going to do another paid session. And I messaged a screenshot of it to my wife. And I said, babe, what in the heck? This was incredible. I just need to do this like 2 to 3 times a day. I'd make 3 times as much money as I'm making, work half of as often, and like actually enjoy what I'm doing. Yeah. And that was that like kind of epiphany, the light bulb moment for me where I was like, well, hold on a second. I'm the one who has to determine what my time is worth. Granted, it is my skill set and my value to the market that will determine where that line gets drawn. Because I can, like, I can't just go into the market right now and be like, I'm worth $1 million an hour. Because, like, I don't know that I am necessarily. Do I think that we could have a conversation with a business that they could take and run with it and make $1 million? Absolutely. I have no doubt about that.
Right.
But I don't know that I feel comfortable personally asking for $1 million for an hour right now. And that's where the levels to this, and it kind of touches back on the imposter syndrome of like, you don't know what you don't know until you know. And then you have to make a decision on what actions you're going to take with that knowledge. And so it started this whole like shift in my world and my mind around money and making money and my personal worth. And what I've realized is that money is relatively easy to make. once we get out of our own way, we get out of like that, you know, scarcity mindset, and we start to realize that it is this weird magical form, this energy that we attract to us. And I don't mean to get like super woo woo, but like there's an aspect of that.
Yeah.
And also, time, energy, and effort are the real finite resources that we have to be aware of, because we can't get more of them. We can't win them in a poker tournament. Like, we don't get a box full of time and extra years, you know, for our life on Christmas. Like, those are the things that really matter. So if you want to make more money, start being more intentional with the time that you spend, the energy that you put into that time, and the effort that you're making to increase your skill set and your value in the marketplace. And if you do that, you're going to start to see that you can ask for more money and do it in a confident way, because you know that 99.9% of the world is not being intentional with their time. They're not putting the energy into solving this problem. And the effort that they're giving right now isn't enough to make the change. So if you can show them through the example and the influence of understanding, hey, you're buying time at a discount right now for what you're paying me to help you solve this problem, because inevitably you could definitely solve it yourself, right? We've got YouTube, we've got ChatGPT, we've got Wikipedia, like all of the information is out there. But if you want me to compress the time that it takes for you to learn it and give you the frameworks and the processes that you can go and implement today, tomorrow, and next week, then you don't have to spend 5 years learning all of this stuff. I've already done that for you, and I'm going to shortcut it. So now you're buying that 5 years back at a discount by paying me $5,000 to go through our program. Yeah. So hopefully that makes sense, because I kind of go on like a soapbox there, but like this was such a massive thing in my life that it's important that I share it, because I think people go through that process as well.
Right. No, it's very useful. It's useful. Would you also say that just doing more of this, just saying more like, yeah, my program costs this much, like through repetition, you just, you know, it gets easier, I guess, to say that.
I often have to remind people, and this is in every business, right? It's not just coaches and consultants, but like, don't sell out of your own pocket. Just because a number to you seems higher or like a bigger investment doesn't mean that the other person you're talking to has the same perspective about price and money and value as you do. And this is where I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, $5,000 is a lot of money. And it's like, to who?
It
might feel like a lot of money to you right now because you aren't at a point where you have, you know, a significant amount in the bank, but it doesn't change the fact that to the right person, $5,000 is nothing if it's going to fix their problem.
Exactly. Exactly. And that leads to my kind of the final question. I think one of the not biggest, but most common objective, you know, is money, you know, it's too expensive. Different ways people say it. Like, I need to think about it. And then you ask, like, what do you need to think about, right? Like, hey, let's think together, you know, whatever the format. They're like, well, I kind of hope, you know, it's expensive, or, you know, I kind of hoped it would be less or whatever. So what are some of the cool answers or formulas that you offer to your clients to respond to the money objection or expensive, too expensive objection?
It's layered. And I think it starts with the questions that you're asking earlier in the conversation so that the money does not become the big objection at the end. Now, when I'm doing sales training, there's three objections that we run into consistently in every single business. Price is number one. The price isn't right. It's too high, it's too low, whatever. Yeah. The timing. Hey, I would love to do this, but I've got to wait until blank. Yeah. I'm too busy. I don't have, you know, I don't have the time to invest in this. And then, you know, and then there's the, I need to think about it, or I need to speak to a, you know, someone else about it, which is kind of the same thing as I need to think about it, right? So it's like, I'm not feeling confident in myself to make the decision right now.
Yep.
And so when it comes to the money objective specifically, I think part of that is earlier on in the conversation, digging in and just asking someone, it's like, all right, cool. Well, what have you done so far to try to solve this problem? And they're going to tell you like, oh, I've hired a coach, or I went to a therapy, or I, you know, bought this special meal plan. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, how did that go for you? You know, what worked well, what didn't work well? And, you know, what was that investment like? It's like, oh, well, I spent $15,000 on it. And so now you're like, okay, well, there's someone who's willing to invest in themselves, clearly, because they spent X amount on this.
Yeah.
And so now you kind of start moving further into, all right, well, what's the cost of inaction? Mm-hmm. If you don't do anything about this, how long can you maintain or sustain your current path before everything blows up and it becomes a nightmare for you?
Yeah.
Because now you're getting them to think about it, not just as a, you know, a big number, but as a like, hey, if I don't do this, this is going to cost, it's going to be 5 times more expensive in the big picture. So pre-handling that objection early on, I think is very valuable. When we're getting to the final close and they're like, why, you know, I still got to think about the price. It's like, okay, well, let's circle back a little bit and reframe it. It's like, okay, cool. I totally understand when we make an investment in ourselves, we want to make the right choice. We want to know that it's going to get us the thing that we're looking for. So let's talk a little bit more about the specific part of it that you're concerned. Is it that you have to pay the whole thing up front?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we could work out a payment plan, would that be helpful? Because sometimes people are just like, literally, I want to do this, but I don't have the $5,000. Like I got $2,500 that I could put down though. And it's like, hey, well, we'll work with you. Yeah. Right. And I'm not saying that every business wants to do that or whatever, but it's just getting back to the, okay, cool. Hey, money aside though, like, are you 100% confident that working through this and having this structure and this framework could help you solve the problem?
Yeah.
And they're going to say probably something along the lines of, well, yeah, absolutely. If I, you know, money aside, of course this is going to help. It's like, okay, so let me ask you something. The kind of people who live the life that you want to live and who have the things that you want and are ultimately where you're trying to go, do you think they're the kind of people who are afraid to invest in themselves in order to get the things that they want? And the person's going to be like, well, no, clearly they're not afraid to invest in themselves. That's why they have the skill set, because they did that. And it's like, okay, so are you someone who wants to continue doing the things the way that you've always done them? Or do you want to step into that new identity as someone who does what they need to do in order to achieve the information and the skill set to get them where they want to be? And they're going to be like, well, of course I want to change, you know, that's why we're here having this conversation. It's like, okay, awesome. That is part of my job as a coach is to challenge some of these mindset, you know, blocks that you run into, because in order to step into that next version of yourself, there's some old habits that we're going to have to break free of in order to change who we are and how we operate. And this investing in yourself is number one, because ultimately, if you're not willing to invest in yourself to learn this skill set, what would make anybody else want to invest in you to do the thing that you're wanting to do for them? So like there's that mental reframe around understanding that, hey, you're investing in yourself so that you can be better, so that you can set the example, so that the people that you're going to help feel as though, hey, this person is exactly, they're doing the thing that I want to be doing. So I'm going to do what they're doing to get there, which is investing in themselves, hiring mentors, talking to the people who have the answer to the problem, and being willing to admit that they don't know what they don't know yet, which is what we're all doing. We're going to school. We're learning how to do these things. But like, it's just around helping the person understand that the decisions they're making are based on old habits, old biases, and old decision-making skills, which is exactly what got them to where they are right now. So unless they want to stay stuck where they are, they're going to have to change the way that they make decisions and the way that they take action on things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, love it, love it. I think, yeah, absolutely. I think when they say, oh, it's expensive or need to think about it, it's a great place to jump in and help them. Again, as a coach, you should be able, you should know how to do this. So help them to see what actually is stopping them. Because, you know, even people, you know, they usually mask a greater fear or a different fear under these three, because these three are so easy: money, time, I don't know, right? But there is a deeper concern or deeper fear. So getting it out and then, like you said, showing them where they go and if they don't take that decision or where they could go, and being open and upfront that, you know, you cannot guarantee, but, you know, also sharing some results and, you know, offering kind of offering that, you know, what you've done with others or whatever you can use there. But it can be this conversation, however uncomfortable it might seem. And it is, I tell you, especially in the beginning when you just started doing this call, like you freeze again, naming your price is freezing. And then when they say, well, I need to think, you're like, oh, thank you, bye. Talk to you later. Like, I've done that because I'm like, oh,
me too. I can I'm not perfect. Well, yeah, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I'm the same way.
I can finish this conversation and go and have, you know, and finally relax. You know, if you can go through that and open up or ask them to open up again, is just going to create so much intimate relationship, I guess. I mean, closer, right? And helping them to walk through, even again, we want to close, but even if they don't close, they will they will learn, you know, what's going on, and they might come back. You know, especially if these are more expensive programs, if they just learned about you recently, they might need a little bit of time to read your post, to kind of silently watch you, like we talked about. They just might, some people like to take time to make decisions. I know we're running out of time. I have tons of more questions, but hopefully, you know, first of all, hopefully I'm coming to your podcast, but also, absolutely, you know, folks, if you like me have a bunch more questions about sales calls, then definitely, you know, where to go to the podcast, called The Damn Leads. Where else, Drabby, where else, can they find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say the best thing that a listener right now could do, if they're here with us today, they've invested the 50 minutes or wherever we are in the podcast at this point. If they've gotten some sort of, like, if you're listening and you've gotten some value out of this conversation, if even just one thing stood out to you and was like, hey, that's interesting, I might, you know, try that, or I want to implement it, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to share this specific episode on social media. Doesn't matter what platform, could be LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, I don't care what, just like share it. And even if you don't want to share it publicly, maybe even send it to somebody you know that you think it could help. Two reasons. One, it's going to mean a lot for me and Lydia because we're taking the time out of our day to be here to pour into the people. You know, we don't get paid a bajillion dollars for having a podcast. Like, there's value to it, or we wouldn't do it.
We pay for this.
Oh, yeah. It's a costly endeavor to pay the production team and all the software and all the things. So, like, we're investing in you right now. And you being willing to share this message with people means the world to us. Also, if you share it on social and you tag at Call the Damn Leads, I'm a sales guy. I'm going to see it. I'm going to follow up with you because I'm going to want to know, like, what was your takeaway? What was the thing that you got so excited about? And so that to me is like the biggest thing that you could do to learn more. Also, you can visit our website, callthedamnleads.com. Check out our Call the Damn Leads podcast. We're on every social media channel as Call the Damn Leads because brand congruency is very, very important to me. And, you know, our mission is to have this logo, this phrase, in every airport across the United States by the year 2030 and across the world by 2040. Because listen, there's enough sales professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, coaches, consultants, like all the different names.
I'm collecting the nice baseball hat, so I need to get that one. I love that.
So if you guys can help me fulfill that mission by spreading the word, maybe placing an order, keychains, wristbands, hats, t-shirts, whatever your style is, that would mean the world to me. And so Call the Damn Leads is here to serve. We're here to sell. And I just am truly grateful for an opportunity to be able to run my mouth and share some of my stories. And hopefully, at least one of you that's here with us today is going to actually go and do something with this knowledge. Because knowledge is useless without action. And so if you go and you do something great and you change your life in some fashion, will you message Lydia? Will you message me? Let us know that it's like, hey, I listened to that episode. I took this thing away from it. I went and did it and it worked. We won't be surprised because that's why we share the things, because we know they work. But we will be truly grateful because this is what we're all about.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Oh, thank you so much. That was wonderful, wonderful speech. I'm going to steal some of that
and use it. That's what we're here to do. We're here to learn. So take it. Use it. It's all for you.
Use it in my further episode. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I know we overrun, but I think that was amazing. Thank you. And talk soon.
You got it.